The Enron scandal is leaving its mark on corporate executives, accountants, and politicians. The public is finding out the company's influence also has reached the media. Several prominent journalists disclosed recently they had been well paid by Enron for ongoing relationships that included speeches and serving on panels that advised the Houston energy giant. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams reports.
A regular contributor to the Wall Street Journal's opinion pages, Peggy Noonan got between $25,000 and $50,000 for helping Enron CEO Ken Lay with drafts of a speech and an annual report that she says he barely used. Lawrence Kudlow, a contributing editor at the National Review and co-host of CNBC's America Now, got $50,000 from Enron. In exchange, Kudlow gave Enron two speeches and a subscription to his economic news service. Kudlow, a former Reagan administration budget official, says his work for Enron was an extension of his primary occupation as an economist, not as a journalist. But Kudlow thinks Enron executives wanted more than advice.
If I had to hazard a guess, I would say the fact that I was on the Bush-Cheney transition team and I met Ken Lay during the inaugural activities probably didn't hurt and more than likely helped, because I think Lay in particular and Enron more corporately kind of likes to collect names.
Kudlow says his ties to Enron have not affected his objectivity. For the last few weeks, the Enron scandal has been discussed every day on his TV show, and Kudlow says he's been honest and critical in his analysis of the company's troubles. Paul Krugman was an economics professor at Princeton and a monthly columnist at Fortune magazine when he received $50,000 from Enron to sit on its advisory board for 4 days. Krugman, now a columnist at the New York Times, declined to discuss his relationship with Enron on tape for this piece, saying he's addressed the topic in his columns. Bill Kristol, editor of the Weekly Standard, received $100,000 for joining the company's advisory panel, a total of 8 days' work over 2 years. Recently, Kristol defended his work for Enron on the Diane Rehm Show on NPR.
I gave them my analysis of American politics, which they didn't always like, since I had been more sympathetic to McCain than Bush, for example, and Ken Lay was a great Bush supporter. But, you know, I did the same thing that I do on this show. I've always said when I give these speeches to corporations, too, that I say nothing there that I don't say publicly. And, you know, if people want to fly me somewhere and pay for the ticket and pay me to give a speech, I'm not going to say no.
At the Poynter Institute, a school for professional journalists, ethics professor Keith Woods says these deals are unprecedented.
I can't say that I've ever heard of any case even close to this in terms of an organization attempting to influence journalists by paying such large sums of money for a relatively small amount of work. You can only conclude that this was an attempt to befriend somebody for reasons other than the work that they were performing.
Washington lobbyist and lawyer Lanny Davis believes Enron was ingratiating itself with key journalists. Davis, who was President Clinton's spokesman during the Lewinsky scandal, says Enron understood that it was buying relationships with opinion makers in Washington.
They had a view of Washington maybe more cynical than most, and that was that this is an auction marketplace, and everything is for sale, and everybody who can influence the auction price directly or indirectly is at least worth an investment.
Enron's practice of paying journalists exorbitant fees for speeches and appearing on panels strikes even old Washington hands as a quantum leap above anything they've seen before. Harry McPherson, a longtime Washington lawyer, says Enron followed the basic textbook on PR strategy, but took it to the extreme of entering into financial deals with journalists, a class of people previously viewed as off-limits.
It probably went along with a number of other things, like supporting the symphony and the opera and the ballet in Houston, doing things that everybody agrees are great for the image of Enron.
At NPR, reporters are not allowed to give speeches to groups they report on to avoid any appearance of conflict of interest. The journalists who got money from Enron all contend that they have been objective, even critical, in their public comments on the company. But the average American watching pundits on TV or reading their articles did not know until recently of the money that had changed hands between the company and the opinion makers. And as Keith Woods points out, people in the media are ultimately accountable to the public.
Even if these are people who are not, in the traditional sense, a journalist, they are still wearing the badge of the journalist when they go on the air and when they put that newspaper out and when they write that column. And they therefore represent all the people who wear that badge. So they are no more or less beholden to our ethics.
Keith Woods, professor of ethics at the Poynter Institute, a school for professional journalists in Florida. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.